Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. I get to preach from that particular part of the Bible today. It happened. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May God add his blessings to these beautiful, beautiful words. Let us join our hearts together in prayer and seek him as we prepare for the message. Heavenly Father, break us open. Break us open that you may fill us up, that we may pour out. Let these words today be strengthening, uplifting, and from you, not from me. Let them be what the Holy Spirit has so directed, and let it be something that provides for us in the week to come, in the time to come, as we sit here listening, preparing, meditating, praising joyfully upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're in my house, as we lead up to this day, you can go to Wendy and ask her what the scene is. And she can tell you that I start getting a little bit giddy. Some people might say kind of silly. I start thinking about what's coming. But one of the things that I enjoy doing, and I have watched many different versions, from interpretive dance, which I'll never do again, to ballet, to skits, to plays, to movies based on A Christmas Carol. Oh, I eat that movie up. I mean to tell you, if I'm flicking around and I catch that movie, boop, all time stops. In the evenings, I'll put it in the machine player. I've got several copies of it, including the first ever motion picture copy of it from 1936. And I live for that movie. They did an audio recording of it where they did a live presentation from the book. Focus on the Family did it. And I love how they open the thing up. They open it up by saying, a story of redemption, a story of darkness overcome by a story of peace and joy. Joy. That is today. Today Jesus Christ brought joy to the world. But I love everything else that I can get through. But I wait for the end. And boy, let me tell you, when the end comes, don't talk to me. Don't make noise anywhere near me. I have been known to try to trick people to go outside into the cold and lock the doors on the house. Because I know it's coming. And so today, I'm going to enact it a little bit. Probably because I've memorized most of it. But I love the scene when Ebenezer suddenly wakes up and he's pulling at his bed curtains. I'm in my home. I'm back home. Look where I'm at. It's daytime. The spirits did it. Of course they did. They can do anything they want. I'm as giddy as a schoolboy. I'm as light as a feather. I don't know what to do. And then he runs over and he opens that window up. And I have backed up this scene a dozen times to hear him go, oh, it's cold. It's good for the blood. You're there, boy. What? Say, boy, what day is this? Hey? I say, my fine young man, what day is this? And you can see the look on the boy's face like, what? It's Christmas Day. Oh, it's Christmas Day. Oh, he did it. Of course they did. The spirits can do it. All in one evening. Oh, what a delightful child to talk to. Say, my fine young man, do you know the poulterer's around the corner? Oh, I should think I do. Oh, what a delightful young man. Delightful. Do you know if they've sold the prize turkey? The one hanging in the window. You mean the one as big as me? Oh, what a wonderful man. Oh, just joyful. Yes. Well, they haven't. Go and buy it for me. All right. Go and buy it for me and bring it back here and I'll give you a shilling. Bring it back here in 5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown. And of course, we know what happens. That boy rips off into the snow to go get that bird. In the meantime, I'll send it to Bob Cratchit's house. That's what I'll do. I'll send it, and he won't know who it came from. Oh, I just don't know what to do with myself. Joy to the world. He is wound tighter than a $2 watch, as my grandfather used to say. Joyful. And there's a couple different ways it ends. My favorite one is the version from 1945 when Scrooge actually goes and buys all the toys in the window. The carousel, the train, the doll, the calliope horse. Buys them all up and has them wrapped in packages and then goes down and goes into Cratchit's house. Some of them have them ending with him at the next day getting Cratchit all stirred up at work. But when he walks in with all those toys, it takes me back to another time when we watch Andy Griffith's Christmas special and the old man has the suitcase full of toys. What did I pack a pair of skates for? What did I pack this for? I must have thought it was a shaving cream because their heart had been changed because the darkness had been swept out. And joy is now filling you. That's today. That's today, isn't it? Can you not feel old Ebenezer? I mean, he's running around. In some of the versions, he runs out into the street just dressed in his nightgown, and he grabs the first woman he comes to and kisses her on the cheek. I don't look good in a nightgown. And I'm fairly certain that everybody up on the hill that already knows me wouldn't be surprised to see me running down the road screaming joy to the world, Merry Christmas, Jesus lives, because it's all family anyways. They'd look up for a minute and go, all right, he's nuts. But that is today. If you are a Christian looking at this day as have-tos, I'm here to reset your focus a little bit on want-tos. Want to be joyful for today. Want to let the whole world know that I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because he was born today. We went out to see a movie on Wednesday night, I think. What night was it? I don't know, one of these nights. We went out to see a movie. Anyhow, we went to see the Polar Express down here at Ladysburg. It was free, and of course, you know me, trains and all that. I sat right in the front row screaming every time the star of the show came on the screen, which was the train. I don't care how you see it. But on the way home, it was raining, it was cold, and right up here off Clopper Road, and I please beg you, if you live around here, take a ride up there and see that Christmas display. Pat, you are shaking your head. You have seen it. There is a ministry there, and it touched me. I had a truck full of children, I being the biggest one. We piled out of the truck in that person's driveway. I'm sure if they had looked out the window and seen that, they'd have thought, better lock the door. But in their yard, they had a beautiful Christmas arrangement, but they had a manger with real live sheep in it. And a big sign over top the manger, big. Jesus is the reason for this season. What an outreach. That would have been good enough for me right there to set me into a fit. But it was raining and we were slopping down through the pathway, the wet straw, and there was hay there in a rack, and there was some sheep there, and we were leaning up against there, and they were, bah, you know, because sheep aren't too smart. They're standing in the rain right there as a shed. You know how I feel about them. Bah, eating away at their hay. And one of the boys there turned to me, it was Buck, and goes, Daddy, is this what the manger smelled like? Well, that's right, he asked the person next to him if they were Christian. Which one of you, one of the children said to me, was it you? Said, is this what the manger smells like? Laugh if you want, it knocked it all the way home. I have done this before, I'm going to do it again. I wish that you would walk with me back for a moment into that manger in Bethlehem. It wasn't a barn, not like we think of. It wasn't barely even a shed. More than likely, it was a hole cut into the side of a rock. Probably just a simple cave. Maybe a shelter from some overhanging rocks. Some place to put the animals. I'm lucky enough to have grown up on a farm, and most of you did, or have been near it, to know what's coming next. The smells. Hay. Straw. Dirt. Dirt has a smell. Animals. Animals have their own aroma. To some people, not so pleasant. To me, it's a heaven sent. All mixed together in a confined space. A mother who has just finished laboring to deliver her child, soaked in sweat and tired, hair matted against her face, body aching from delivering. One person in the manger, Joseph, delivered, pulled the baby, cleaned it. They wrapped it in cloths, laid it to her. Can you be in the manger with me right now? That's where the King of all eternity was born. That's where joy to the world begins. Not in some golden room, in some throne room, in some castle set on a mountain high where probably 12 dozen attendants came and made sure that everything was right. A child delivered in the back end of a barn, laid in where the animals eat. What do you think a manger is? King of the world. Joy to the world. That's what the Bible says if you go back and look at the scripture. They never even once thought about a king born in a manger. Oh, the angel said it. They wanted to see it. I loved hearing the book she read where it said the only sound they could hear was the flap, flap, flap of sandals as they ran across the sand. Had I been there, it'd have been the clump, clump, clump of work boots. It says here, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." That's what today is all about. Good news. Great joy. Joy to the world. Amen. Amen. That's what it is. It's a joy to the world. When you take Him here. When you take this day here. Oh, we got up this morning. Oh, I guarantee you. With these two scraggly wags at dark 30 this morning. I was downstairs finishing up my sermon when I heard the words from the top of the stairs. "Daddy, is it Christmas yet?" "No. Won't be Christmas till tomorrow." They didn't buy that. And they come downstairs and to see that joy. I would love to have been there to have heard that proclaimed by the angels. Joy to all people. Good to the earth. By those people that will, in essence, what the angel was telling them, in the times to come, the angels were saying, in essence, to each one of you and to the rest of the world that will come to know this child as Jesus Christ the Lord, will be saved, and joy to the world will be ever greater. Imagine your darkness. Ebenezer was a hard, nasty individual. I beg you to read the book, because there ain't a movie, there ain't a skit, there ain't a ballet, interpretive dance that can do it justice till you sit down and read the book, which was a mistake when it was written. Charles Dickens, when he sat down to pen that book, was running out of money. He had lived too lavishly. He had gotten too big. He had allowed pride to take over. And he was being begged to write another book. And this idea had been toying with him for the past 10 years. But he deemed it not necessary because it talked too much of Jesus Christ in the book. And then he sat down and he wrote it. And the way he describes Ebenezer, you cannot put a picture to. Man is hard and bent and mean. I saw the most recent movie of it, where even at the death of his partner, Jacob Marley, as they laid him in the coffin, he removed the gold from the man. He had that much love for money and had been bent and twisted that much. And yet, a visit by the Spirit changed him. A visit by the Spirit brought him back from the darkness. A visit by the Spirit taught him that Christmas has no value other than that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Joy to the world. G.K. Chesterton, the Christ child lay on Mary's lap. His hair was like a light. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here is all right. The Christ child lay on Mary's breast. His hair was like a star. Oh, stern and cunning are the kings, but here the true hearts are. The Christ child lay on Mary's heart. His hair was like a fire. Oh, weary, weary is the world, but here is the world's desire. The Christ child stood at Mary's knee. His hair was like a crown, and all the flowers looked up at him, and all the stars looked down. I love thinking about a story written by Taylor Caldwell called My Christmas Miracle. She talks about she was in her 20s and recently divorced, and this was back in the days of the 1920s, and how she was trying desperately to find a job, and she couldn't. And on one particularly rainy day, she went out to look for a job, and her umbrella had been breaking and breaking, and finally it had given up all the protection that it had, but she could not afford another one. And so she boarded a streetcar to go to the job, and as she sat down, She began to pray in earnest. And after opening her eyes, next to her was an umbrella. She described it as a silk umbrella with a silver handle inlaid with gold and flecks of bright enamel. I had never seen anything so lovely. She says, I looked at the handle and found the name. I was going to take it to the conductor, but then I decided I would find the owner myself, because surely the owner must be searching for it. Yes, she said in surprise, she had lost that umbrella well over a year ago when it was stolen from her. And it had been the last gift that her parents had given her before they had passed on. And her heart broke every time it rained. The teacher, Caldwell says, wanted to give me a reward. All I had in my pocket was $20 in the entire world, but her happiness at getting this joy was more than any measure could be put on. And so I just simply said no. And while we talked, somehow she got my address, I guess, and I left and went back to my dark, depressing world. The next 6 months were wretched, she writes. I was only able to obtain temporary employment here and there in small salaries. And at this point in time, I was able to put aside a quarter or 50 cents to save for my little girls for Christmas. It took me 6 months to save $8 in the 1920s. My last job ended the day before Christmas. My $30 rent was soon coming due. I had $15 to my name, and I would need food. My daughter was home from boarding school and was excited to look forward to her gift under the tree the next day. I remember that we had gotten a small tree, and we were looking forward to decorating it. As the stormy air was full of the sound of Christmas merriment, I walked from the streetcar to my small apartment. Bells were ringing, children laughing, shouting everywhere. The weather had the full measure of spirit within it, but I couldn't pick myself up. I had reached my lowest point. Unless something happened in January, I'd be homeless. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed, asking why he had forgotten me. I grabbed my letters from the mailbox, a great stack of them, nothing but bills, I thought in disgust, and I went upstairs and slammed the door shut to the apartment and threw them on the coffee table and paid no attention to them. My daughter was not quite 6 years old when she came running and screaming to me in joy, because tonight was Christmas Eve. Tonight was the night that Christ was born, she echoed. I knew the next morning all we would have would be cold hamburgers and gelatin. That's all the meal I could afford. That's all I had. But we decorated the tree a little bit, and the coldness in my heart could not be assuaged. The doorbell rang, and Peggy ran to answer it, calling that it must be Santa Claus. And then I heard a man talking. She says, I ran over and I answered the door, and the delivery man was full, his arms full of parcels and packages and more littered the floor around him. I thought this must be a mistake, but then I read the name on the parcels, and they were for me, and when he had gone, I could only stare at them. A huge doll, three times the size of the one that I had bought for my daughter. Gloves, candies, a leather purse, food. I looked at the address. It was the teacher with the umbrella. She had remembered me, even though she had moved to California. Our dinner that night was more delicious than any I had eaten in forever. And while still only having $15, I forgot about that and thanked God happily that he had heard my cry. I put Peggy to bed, and peace flooded me. And so I decided I'd go through the bills now. And the first one I opened was a large white envelope that contained a check for $30 for a job I had done a month before, with a note, Merry Christmas, here's your bonus. The other envelope offered a permanent position with the government to begin 2 days after Christmas. I sat with the letters in my hand, the tears rolling down my face, and thinking of the joy that had now been brought to my world. Hearing the church bells ring, I looked out and looked in at my child, who was sleeping so peacefully. People were walking to church that Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. People smiled at me, and I smiled back through the window. The storm had stopped. The sky was pure, glittering with stars. The Lord is born, sang the bells to the crystal night and the laughing darkness. Someone began to sing, "Come all ye faithful." I'm not alone, I thought. I was never alone at all. The message of Christmas rang, the joy and peace filled. And strong I was, and heart be lifted. Joy to my world was brought. Amen. That's what we need to remember. That's what today is. Joseph Bailey with this poem that I really have always loved. Praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for the Word was made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bare in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing stars with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight, today, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold, and said farewell to His Son who stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby, who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise Him in the heavens, praise Him in the stables, praise Him in the heart, and joy to the world, for He has come to save us. Amen? Amen. Strengthen the joy in your heart, my brothers and sisters, as we remember what this day is. Jesus Christ was born today. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Stand with me, please. Great and loving, merciful Father, those words, that I might echo them again. You stood on heaven's threshold and watched as your Son stepped across the stars and became finite, a baby. The Word became flesh, my sins paid for, our crimes forgiven, your Son to be praised, to be joyed, to be uplifted. I have no other words today, Father. I am simply overcome with a desire to yet again call out to You, thank You for the joy to the world Thy hands have given. Thank You for the joy to the world Thy hands have seen fit to provide to us who never, ever deserved it. And as we finish out this day, and in days yet to come, let us be ever joyful, ever mindful that today Jesus Christ was born, that today we were saved, that today we may praise Him and shout His very name. In His name we give thanks. All God's children said, Amen. Amen. Might as well stay up. It's our last hymn. Oh, here she comes. I invite you that if you need that extra prayer as we sing the last hymn, today's a good day for it. I'll be happy to meet you here and pray.
Sonny, it's Silent Night.
253.
253. The number was correct. That's okay.
Oh,
Again, I invite you at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Western Maryland Hospital, if you are able to come and join with me and share in that rich blessing that you will receive. And now may the favor of God find on men who believe in His Son, and may it rest upon us as we go from here. May it strengthen us in our departing, and may it bind us until we find ourselves either here again or over there on that shore where we will sing and praise His joy forever. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, and I pray blessings upon you. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, forever and ever. Amen.